Okay, I'd like to open in prayer, but I don't want to just pray myself for the message. I'd like all of you, if you can, join me. And I really believe that what God, he's going to do something in every single person this morning, if you let him. He wants to start a work in your heart for 2024. And so as I pray for the message this morning, I'd like you just to close your eyes and open up your heart to him and pray and say, God, what have you got in store for me for 2024? What work have you got for me to do in 2024? So join with me. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much for your love and your calling on each one of us. And Lord, I pray for the word this morning that your words will be spoken and that our hearts will be open to hear what it is that you have to say to us. Lord, not my words, but yours spoken to us. And Lord, I pray that you continue to empower us and help us to walk in what you have called us to for 2024. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome to 2024. And I'm going to bring a few thoughts from what I feel God was doing in 2023 for us, and then have a little bit of a look ahead at the 2024. But before I do that, so I was so pumped because I asked for that song, Tear Off the Roof, to be played. And my message this morning is called Tear Off the Roof. So while I'm speaking, there's power in the presence. There's power in the blood. There's power in the name of Jesus. He has more in the hem of his garment than in the camp of the enemy. If there is an enemy camped anywhere near you, or anyone that you know, he has more power in the hem of his garment than that enemy that is camped. And the most awesome thing, that first line, the power in the presence. Now, God lives within us. So his presence is with us always, which means the power of the kingdom of God is with us always. Not just this morning when we come and join in this way in a service, but always, wherever we go. Now, I preached the very last message of 2019, and as I did so, think about what happened since then. Wasn't my fault. No, it wasn't my fault. But so much. I mean, if somebody had said to me when I got down off the pulpit on that Sunday, if somebody had come up and said, oh, you know, this is what you've got in store for you over the next 3 or 4 years, I'm like, nah, not a chance. For starters, I don't think anyone could have prepared us at all for the number of times in 2020, 2021, and 2022 that we collectively heard the word unprecedented. So I promise I won't use it again this morning. but in all seriousness, those years were, if nothing, a significant shaking for all of us. Not just us in the church, but our whole world. Our concept of what normal is like was completely shattered, and it really hasn't gone back. I mean, some things have gone back so that it's a little bit like it used to be, but there are some things that just will never, ever be the same. You know, we even had times where we were questioning what church was like, you know, what a service was. We had to go to the remote and so on, and there were so many questions and so much shaking. And even before that, there was this term that had started to spring up that I'd been reading about, and some of you may have heard of it, many of you may not, but it's the term is VUCA, V-U-C-A. Now, in the past, we've seen in our society change through industrial revolutions. And the thing is, with an industrial revolution, everyone's going along happily in normal daily life, and then someone invents something like steam engines or mechanical farm equipment or whatever it is, and it radically changes all of society. But then this new normal is created, and everyone starts to get used to that new normal, and they keep going until, you know, many years down the track, another one of those inventions. But we are living in what they're calling a VUCA world, which is a constant state of industrial revolution. It isn't a point in time, it's something that just keeps happening. And VUCA stands for volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. Now, does that sound like the world we're living in at the moment? And the incredible thing with a world like that is that people are, and this is why stress is such a high profile thing these days. So many people are seeking the services of psychologists and so on, and rightly so, because they're getting tossed around from left and right and so on. You know, all you've got to do is then throw in a pandemic, political unrest, wars and rumours of wars, and it just continues to increase this absolutely chaotic world that we live in. So this is the world that we describe that we live in right now, this one that we are not of. You know, we had a whole year last year where we understand that that's what the world's like out there, but we're not of that world. It's funny, and I had to get this in, and my girls are going to laugh, but even Paramore have written a song about this crazy world that we live in, and it's called The News, and it says, and talking about the nighttime news, every second our collective heart breaks, altogether every single head shakes, and you've just got to turn the news on in the evenings, and that it seems to be every time there's something that you just do, you shake your head, or you constantly we're saying, what's wrong with people? So this is the world that we live in. And as we learned in 2023, we are not of this world. We live in it, but we're not of it. And the amazing thing as well is that so many people now are looking for an anchor point in this craziness, in this chaos. They are looking for something to anchor themselves to. And we know that there is only one true anchor, one unshakable foundation, regardless of all of this, and that is Jesus. That is Him, our Christ, our Lord. In Psalm 46, 1-2, and then jumping to 7, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, there were some themes that we learnt through 2023. And I'll just run through a couple of those. We seek to keep our focus on Jesus. In all of this instability, living in a whirlwind world, we keep our focus on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And the more we keep our eyes on Jesus, the more the world just, who cares? Even things like interest rate rises. No, my eyes are on Jesus. He is my provider. My eyes are on him. I'm not worried about the world. Jesus is our foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And when we continue to build our lives on Christ and on Him alone, the world can shake. We can go through any earthquake, and the house that has been built on that will not fall. We walk with Holy Spirit, and He lives in us. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 3:16. We have Holy Spirit living in us. Wherever we go, whatever situation we face, that is true. That is the truth. He is in us. He is with us always. So again, VUCA world, I don't care. The King of Kings is in my heart and living in me. Now, this is a really important one, and I think we touched on this in the last couple of weeks. John 15:4-8, abide in me. This is something that I really feel that last year, We learnt very heavily, and a lot of people learnt how to really abide in Him. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. For if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, listen to this, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. I'm going to look at that a little bit closer shortly. Now also, the other theme was that we do face a very real enemy. The word says that we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of this darkest age. And that is so true. Again, all you've got to do is look at the news, look wherever you want in the world, and see the works of the enemy. I mean, it's interesting that, Adrian and I have just started on a bit of a journey with something that we really feel God is calling us to. And right from the start, you know, the devil rears his ugly head and starts to, you know, put doubts and just throw little fiery darts. Wherever we go and whenever we step out in his works, we know that we are facing a very real enemy. So really, 2023, it's been one for us that has been a bit of a winter. You know, coming out of that shaking, it's been a bit of a winter, but winter is good. If you look at buffalo grass, it's a classic example of what happens in winter and what is powerful about winter. Buffalo grass, it loses its really nice, vibrant green, and the leaves start to go a little bit funny coloured and so on. But what's happening is that under the ground, the roots are going deeper and deeper and deeper, and they are strengthening the plant. And there are so many plants that are like that, and that's exactly what I feel was something that's been happening in so many of our lives in 2023. We were going deeper in Christ. Our roots were going deeper and deeper in him so that we could be even more strengthened against the volatility and the change. I think in 2023 as well, there was a great alignment of our thinking to kingdom principles and kingdom ways and kingdom power. I feel also that in 2023, we started to develop this real understanding of the authority that has been placed upon each and every one of us as children of God. But most of all, I feel like there has been this great development in abiding in him. I've seen so many people in our church just learn to really spend time and abide with him. And abiding, what that means is not just kind of hanging out every so often, but it means to stay with, to maintain attachment to continue or persist with, and to find our center in someone else's life. I love that last description, finding our center in someone else's life. And we know that when we abide with Jesus, what better center to find than in him. So many of us, we've been going deeper, finding our identity, our destiny, and our satisfaction and meaning in life in relation to Jesus and his kingdom. Now, that's all great. But there's always a purpose for everything that God does. He doesn't just, get me right here. He wants to most of all be in relationship with us and have a deep, personal, individual relationship with us. But he doesn't want it to stop there. He wants us to bear much fruit. Now, an interesting thing that I came across when I was reading up on this was the branches, they don't produce the fruit, they bear the fruit. Okay, and that's exactly what he has tasked us to do, to bear the fruit, to walk with people and disciple them in the journey. He's the one that produces the fruit. We just bear it. And also, we're not about trying to become the best and most attractive branches that we possibly can. We can be, in fact, if you look at grapevines, often the most withered and most gnarled looking branches, the ones that look the ugliest, produce the best and the richest fruit. So we're not interested about what kind of branch we are, just that we are there and enabled to bear that fruit. So I really believe that God is saying for 2024, the harvest is ready. The harvest is really, really ready. Because not only us have gone through that shaking, but our whole world has, our neighbours have, our workmates, our school, the people that we go to school with or university with, they have also gone through that shaking. And, you know, many of them probably won't admit it, but they are looking for that anchor point. They are seeking for that firm foundation, that thing that cannot be shaken. So tear off the roof. Tear off the roof. The king's in the house. You know, what would you do if someone rang you and said, hey, Jesus just turned up. He's at my place. What would you do? I mean, seriously. Jesus is there in physical form at your friend's place. You would drop everything and you would do whatever you could to get there, wouldn't you? And if you had some friends who didn't know him, You pick them up on the way. You would do everything you possibly can. The king's in the house. Just get me to Jesus. I don't care how. But not just get me to Jesus. Just let me minister in his power in wherever I am. I don't care how. You know, there are so many stories in the Bible that have that urgency in people's hearts. The men lowering their friend through the roof, which obviously that song is about. The woman with the issue of blood, she did everything she could. She knew, if I can only get to him, if I can only touch the hem of his garment. Zacchaeus climbing the tree. You know, he couldn't see. He was a short guy. So he did whatever he could to see Jesus. Even the Roman centurion who had the servant who was unwell. You know, he got to Jesus and he said, "Don't worry, don't come yourself. Just say the word." Because he knew the power of God. He knew the power that Jesus had, that all he had to do was just say the word and the situation would be changed. So in all these stories, there is an urgency. And I really feel that God wants us to be of that same urgency. You know, we could very well be in the end times. There might be hundreds of years to go before Jesus come back, but there might be only 10. There might be 5. He could be nearly here. We need to be ready and raring to go at any point in time. And God is asking us to rise up with this passion in our hearts, that same passion to tear off the roof, so that we just spend our time with him. And you know, the funny thing is, if there is sin dogging, you know, if there are problems or issues or things that you feel that you need to work through, the best thing to do is to abide in him. Because that is part of that awakening to righteousness and sin not. It's not sin not first and then awaken to righteousness. It's spend time abiding in him. Awaken to righteousness, and I guarantee the more you spend time with him, you won't even think about sinning because it will just be something that all your time is spent with him. As Christians, we're indeed not of this world, as we've already said, and we still live in this world, but we just don't wander through it trying not to get tainted by it. The whole idea and the whole purpose of us being filled with the kingdom presence is that we are supposed to be impacting this world, making a dent on it, not it on us. He has a plan and a purpose for each and every person here, and that plan is unique to each of us. I think Rick said last week when we were praying that spiritual warfare is all about finding your calling and just following that 100%. That was it, wasn't it? Something along those lines. Near enough. But it really is. It's about finding what God has called you to do as an individual. And for some, that is full-time ministry. For some, that is being a minister and taking the kingdom to their workplace. For some, that is taking the gospel and the kingdom of God into their school, into their university. It is wherever you have been called to go. And we're meant to not measure ourselves with someone else. We are meant to measure ourselves against our own calling. And again, when we abide in him, he will develop us and help us to understand and realize what that calling is. You know, Christianity is not just a place to come and get blessed and have a good life. It's not just a place that, you know, everything's going to be easy throughout our life because we know Jesus. Let me read you something that Dietrich Bonhoeffer said. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. It might be a death like that of the first disciples who had to leave home and work to follow him, or it may be death like Luther's who had to leave the monastery and go into the world. But it is the same death every time, death in Jesus Christ, the death of the old man at his call. But we do not want to die, and therefore Jesus Christ and his call are necessarily our death as we live our life. It very much echoes that statement that Paul made as well, to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, sacrifice and calling, they go hand in hand. When we do follow or find God's calling for us, and it may be even what he has for you in 2024, he might ask you to lay some things down. He might ask you to put some things aside that are perhaps preventing you from getting to that. But you know what I've noticed? Not a single person who has ever sacrificed something that Jesus has called them to has then gone in lack in that area of their life. I've never seen it. When someone has done something that God has told them to do and sacrificed, it could be financially, it could be giving up a job, it could be moving countries, it could be whatever, they have never gone in lack. You know, it's like that rich young ruler that came to Jesus. He said, give everything you have. And we know that the rich young ruler, he couldn't do it. But I guarantee if he had, he would have ended up with so much more than he had ever dreamed of. So, 2024, to be his disciple means to be drawn into his kingdom, to be restored to right standing with him, with God, and then to be sent out on mission with all the resources of heaven right behind us. Those resources, they include, if you abide in me, this is John 15, 7 and 8 again, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this the Father is glorified. You know, it's funny, in John 15, he says something similar to that about four or five times in the space of a couple of chapters. In John 15, 16, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. We look then at Hebrews as well that backs that up. We can go boldly into the throne of God. So we go with all the resources of heaven behind us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. Isaiah 54, 7. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. In Revelations 12, 1, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. 1 John 4, 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So God has for us in 2024 about going and making disciples. The disciples are ripe and ready. They're out there. The harvest is ready. What's he calling you to do? What has he got? What work has he got for you to do? Now, when Claire and I, when we, and no, I'm not going to make any big announcements, so in joke, we're not selling a house. When we bought our block of land in Red Bank and we decided to build, the thing that was really on our hearts was that we would fill it with people, not just people from church, but we would fill it with people who don't know God at all. And then in some way that we would make that impact in Red Bank, that we would see many, many come to know him. And I've been praying over and over for some way to, you know, what it was that God wanted me to do, or wanted us to do. And just recently, again, Adrian and I, we've started to look at this, basically a fitness kind of program that has discipleship involved in it as well. And I think things are going to be really, I'm very excited by it. Really excited by it. But I want to see, you know, what is it that God has for you in your community? What is it that he has for you in, whether it's the community that you live in, or whether it's where you work, or whether it's your school or university or wherever it is? So I'd like to pray right now over everyone. Look at that. Nice and short. And we're going to sing Tear Off the Roof again. I love it. But sing it with that in mind. God, what have you got for me in 2024? What have you got planned for me? What is my calling? What is my calling to make disciples wherever I am? Because that's what we're about. Making disciples that make disciples. So sing this. Let me pray first and just get into it. Ask Holy Spirit to fill you with ideas, dreams, and visions, but then understand that you go, when you go into that calling, you go with the full power of heaven behind you. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for the call that you've placed on our churches. I thank you for the call that you've placed on each of us as individuals as well. And Lord, I pray that you will set us up this morning for 2024. Lord, that we would be able to go into our communities and that we would be able to impact the world that we live in. And that we would be able to do so understanding that the kingdom is with us, that your power is with us always. Lord, I pray for open doors. Lord, that those ideas that you will start to put into people's minds, or ones that might have been there for years or might have just started to arise, that you will continue to fan them. And Lord, that we will see Strong Nation Church mobilized, that we will see Strong Nation Church mobilized to impact our world and to see disciples, disciples, disciples. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Jesus.